everybody. This is Warner Finn Plotzker driving on the Garden State Parkway. This is a dynamic year. I'm going to be delivering several topics. So the first topic is going to be a discussion about the Raven, lessons learned from the Dove, and then a brief discussion about the relationship between Noah and Moshe, and of course, Noah himself. So we begin with the Raven. The Raven had said, according to Midrash Rabbah, that you, Noah, hate me, and so does your God. God hates me, he said, because you know that I'm a black bird, and that black attracts heat, and that if you send me out in a scorched sun, I'm going to die. And you hate me because you want me to be removed so that you can be with my spouse, Mrs. Raven. To which Noah was incredulous. He didn't know what to do, and he was preparing himself to curse the Raven, and there would be no more species of raven. Hashem said no. Hashem intervened and said, please do not curse the raven. Do not remove it from the species of the world, because I have a future plan for the raven. The raven in future generations will bring food from the table of King Ahab and Jezebel to Eliyahu HaNavi, who was hiding in a cave. And that's exactly what ended up happening. So Eliyahu HaNavi was hiding in the cave, and there came along this raven. And we all know that a raven, before we go any further, we know that the raven in Hebrew is called an orev. An orev is very similar to the letters erev, which is night, which is very similar to mariv, which is what Yaakov Avinu was metaken, which is very similar or reminiscent of galus, which is also reminiscent of din and elokim. And that's exactly what the raven represented, all of these attributes. And so when the raven displayed mercy and acted in a way that was unique and very different from its character, Eliyahu learned a valuable lesson. The lesson was is that he was preparing a speech to give to the Jewish people, to which he later said the following morning, Lama atam yotzim al shtei sifim, why do you go out on two sides of the sword? During the day, you worship Baal Pa'ar, and at nighttime, you claim to be a Yari Shemayim. You cannot have it both ways. And so, Eliyahu HaNavi, when he saw the mercy that was bestowed upon him from this raven, he tempered his speech. And by doing so, as the saying goes, an ounce of honey is far more effective than a gallon of vinegar. You can pour vinegar on people, and they'll respond as long as they need to. But the second they don't have to any longer, they're out. So Eliyahu HaNavi wanted to temper that by learning from the raven how to tone down the rhetoric of what he planned to say, and the speech that he did deliver was much more digestible to the Jewish people, and they did tshuva as a result. So there's a deeper connection, says the Maharal Prague, between the raven and Eliyahu HaNavi, and that is that the raven was looking for Yevoshes, which is dry land. And Eliyahu, his name is Tishbi. Tishbi and Yevoshes are the same letters. If you spell Yevoshes backwards, you end up with Tishbi. And so that's the connection between the two. And so there's a deeper connection, perhaps, between Yaakov and Eliyahu, because there's five times where Yaakov is spelled with an extra vav, and there are five times in Tanakh where Eliyahu's name is spelled absent of Av, such that it's pronounced Eliyah. And so that teaches us, say Chazal, that the hand that took us into Galus, we will be redeemed through the hand that takes us out of Galus and utters in the Ikvasa de Mashiacha, the birth pang, so to speak, of Mashiach himself. So that's the relationship between the two. And I was thinking that if anybody's looking for a name and they're not sure what to name a child, Yaakov Eliyahu would be a beautiful name because it represents all the elements and attributes that we just discussed. So that's point number one. Point number two is that we learn from the dove a valuable lesson, and that is that in Erevin, Daf Yudches, in Maseches Erevin 18b, the dove turns like HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, Ribono Shel Olam, I hope and pray that my mezonos, my parnasa, should be bitter but come from you, Hashem, and be sweet and come from mankind, that I should be dependent upon mankind. And so that's the reason why we have an olive branch that represents peace. It's taken from this particular parsha, where the dove finds that olive branch, and he brings it back to Noah to signify that the flood waters had receded. And also in the same vein, in the same token, this dove is giving over a very powerful lesson, that instead of us being dependent upon mankind, we should rather find dependence strictly from Hashem, even if it means that it's a little bit painful to make that parnasa. We should know and realize how beautiful it is to have that closeness, that kesher, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's something surely we can think about. The third lesson of the parsha is that we see a relationship between Moshe and Noach. In fact, there's an Aruch Chaim HaKadosh that says that Noach meets up with Moshe, and he says, Moshe, ani gadol mimecha, Moshe, I am greater than you. To which Moshe responds back to Noach, Ata yitzalta, you saved your own family, but I saved my entire generation. And so we see something powerful. We know that in this parsha, the pasuk says, Vakimosi esprisi itach, that I will establish a new covenant with you. And what do you hear from Noach? You hear Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. You don't hear anything. Noach es elokim hisalech Noach. Whatever God says to do, Noach is there to fulfill it. And then we turn to another level and we say, wait a minute. When the same words are uttered to Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not going to stand for this. V'mayin mechina misipecha asher kasafta. Take me out of your holy book. So what does the word mechini refer to? Art School translates the word as to remove, but says the Kedushas Levi, it means something much more. It means Mei Noach. The same letters that spell Mecheni, Mem, Ches, Nun, Yud, also spell out Mei Noach. And what was the messaging? There's a Maharsha in Maseches Tevachim, Daf Gupta Zayin, that explains that Kadosh Baruch Hu promised in the end of this week's parasha that he will never again destroy the entire world. But says the Maharsha, a qualifier, that there are certain countries that are exposed to damage borne by water, but that the world itself will never be destroyed. As we say on Friday night, Hashem Lamal Yashav, Hashem returned the waters. Despite the fact that 75% of the earth is water, we know that there's a miracle that the water is contained, and that it does not overcome us. And so that is the messaging over here with regard to the relationship between Noach and Moshe. That's why the Torah says that Noach, when he didn't say anything, there had to be a tikkun for that. What does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is true that we all know in Sefer Bereishis we refer to Hashem as Elohim, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more than one name and far more attributes. Moshe Rabbeinu invokes, and he says, Hashem, Hashem, Yukei Vavkei, which is Midas Rachim, Kel Rachum V'chanun, you are a merciful, graceful God. Erech Apayim, you are slow to anger. Rav Chesed V'emes, and filled with Chesed, kindness and truth. Notza Chesed La'alafim, you give Chesed to those thousands and thousands of people, and you forgive the inequities of the Jewish people. And then, what does Hashem say? Vayom Hashem, Salachti Kidvarecha. I forgive because you asked to be forgiven. Hashem is looking for that relationship. Noach did what he had to do. However, the reason why it's called Mei Noach is because perhaps Noach could have done more. Perhaps Noach could have said, Hashem, I can't. This is too much. Please don't destroy the world. But in defense of Noach, he was operating under the Midas Elokim. So Moshe Rabbeinu got his name from, how did he get his name? Kimin Amayim Mishisiyu. He was saved by water. He was not even named by his parents. He was named by Batya. Kimin Amayim Mishisiyu, from the waters I saved this boy. And then we know that, so he was born in water, so to speak. And second is Kriyas Yamsuf. We all know that Moshe Rabbeinu was pivotal in Kriyas Yamsuf. And third part of his life was the Mei Meribah, where Moshe Rabbeinu hit the rock not once, but twice. And that secured his inability to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So that is the relationship that we see. What does Hashem say after Moshe Rabbeinu says this tefillah, Vayom Hashem salachti kidvarecha, I forgive according to your word. Hashem is looking for us to have that relationship. A child is looking to have a relationship with a parent. A parent to a child. Animals among one another, their own species, and of course, if they're a pet in the home, they're looking for affection and love. Everyone is looking for a connection. Everyone is looking for instruction. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Tzelem Elokim Nivra Osam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us with God-like qualities. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have that relationship because all of us seek it and desire it as well. Vayom Hashem Salachti Kibarecha, I forgive because you ask to be forgiven. And that's how things operate. So we have an opportunity whenever we are able to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's, you know, if we put a Bluetooth in our ears, people think we're on the phone, we can be just as quickly or just as easily speaking to Hashem. It's all about strengthening that relationship. The last nakuda, last point very quick, is that we know that Noach was a tzaddik. He was tamim. As we say, Toras Hashem tamima meshibas nafesh. And so Noach was also a Elokim Halach Noach. He worked in concert with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so if he had all of these qualities, says the Kedushas Levi, how could he be Mekatne Amuna? How could he be somebody who was a mamin ve'ein a mamin? How could he be somebody who believed that the rain would come, but didn't believe that the rain would come? What does that even mean? What does it mean to be Mekatne Amuna? And so the answer is that there are tzaddikim in this world that have great, great power. As the Gemara in Moed Katan Tazayin brings down, Tzaddik Moshe B'Yiras Elokim, a tzaddik governs through his fear of heaven. Mi Moshe B'i, tzaddik. Who governs over me? The tzaddik. Tzaddik Ozer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. A tzaddik decrees, HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to that enunciation. But since Noah had all of these attributes, why didn't he just stop the plague from happening? Why didn't he stop that great deluge? And the answer, says the Berditchever, is that he lacked emuna in himself. He didn't believe that he had the strength to alter the course of history. The teva that he built for 120 years, that set sail for 40 days and 40 nights, should have been a short line expedition. It should have been an outing of the entire world. Should have gone on to that teva, and everyone would have been fine. Instead, the world was destroyed. Says the Medrash Rabbah, when Noach exited the teva, he started to cry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned and said, Noach, if you only would have cried like this beforehand, I never would have destroyed the world. What was Hashem saying? Hashem is saying, I'm looking for that relationship. It's what we talked about a moment ago. I'm looking for you to reach out to me. I'm looking for you to ask, what can you do for others? And think about it and look around and see all of the chesed organizations that we have. Tomchei Shabbos, Bikur Cholim, Yad Lachim, Hatzala, Merkaz Panim, Atayim, Boni Olam, and the list goes on and on and on and on, and there are hundreds of these organizations, including hundreds of gemachs, where we help other people. This is how we are metaking silence. We take the silence and we build upon it. And we say, I have something for you, it's going to be beautiful. I have a new parnasa for you. I have a possible job for you. This is how we help one another. And there is no people as small as ours that has so many beautiful, wonderful chesed organizations. And it all comes from thinking about the other and how we can be of service. If everyone said someone else will do it, nobody would get it done. But somebody has to stand up and say, I'm going to take care of this, and I'm going to take care of that. And before you know it, things are suddenly running on their own. And that's exactly one of the most powerful messages we can take from Parshas Noach, which is the ability to have confidence within ourselves and to instill that confidence within our children. So to briefly recap, we discussed the raven and, of course, the Midas HaChesed that it displayed tempered the speech that Elio prepared to give. We talked about the dove that spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked that we should recognize that our parnasa should, we should be happy that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it might not be so sweet. Then rather it be sweet, but that we should be dependent upon mankind. Third, we talked about the relationship between Moshe and Noach. And fourth, And of course, we talked about the fact that Akash Baruch was looking for us to create that verbal connection such that we communicate with Akash Baruch Hu, because there's so many opportunities to do so. And the fourth is that we should always believe in ourselves, believe in our skill sets, believe in our kochos, because Akash Baruch Hu believes in us. And we may not think of ourselves as a tzaddik or a tzaddikus, but indeed we are. And we have so many beautiful malos, wonderful attributes to share with others, to help strengthen others, to lift and provide chizuk to others within our community, within our own family. And we have an obligation to do so. We cannot just simply sit back and say, they'll learn their own way. We must make an effort to strengthen ourselves and our community. And Bez Hashem, we shall know something's going forward. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best. And you should have a week filled with Hatzlacha and Bracha and Kol Minei Tov.